It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this latest episode. I'm glad that you're here. Today, we're going to be talking with a gentleman named Zach Curley. He's the CEO and co-founder of IndieSource. Zach co-founded IndieSource, an apparel manufacturer and fashion consultancy that is redefining the way clothing is developed, produced, and distributed in the United States. This is one of those very, very competitive industries. I'm excited to have him on the show and talk about not only what he's doing, but about the apparel industry in general. Zach Curley, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. You bet. All right. So I got to ask you, this is such a massively competitive industry. What attracted you to this particular industry?
You're absolutely correct in that it is extremely competitive. And one of the things that attracted me to it was that there were so many brands that were popping up. The barrier to entry to just start a collection, to put together a Shopify site, to buy blanks. I mean, to just say that you're in the industry, the barrier to entry is low, but a lot of people do not succeed. And when we started to look at the reasons that brands were not succeeding, and the back end, the supply chain, the infrastructure, the inability to create something new and differentiated, what we realized was that while, yes, there are so many new brands starting, the support to help them start was very, very archaic. It was just not set up for today's e-commerce heavy world. It was basically set up for large quantities, produce a ton of stuff, do it all in Asia. And the entire infrastructure needs to change to shift based on what the demand is in the marketplace from these fashion entrepreneurs around the country. So we don't compete necessarily with that. We're trying to help make new brands more competitive and allow them to come in and disrupt some of the older guys that have been around a while.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, so let's talk about this. What are some of the things that differentiate IndieSource from your competitors? Talk about some of the things that you think are unique.
Well, I mean, think about what you would do if you initially you're like, all right, I have an idea for a product. Maybe you want to start a swim line. Maybe you have an invention for some medical scrubs. Maybe you are creating something that nobody's ever heard of, or it's something, you know, a mask or something to protect you. What do you do? Okay, well, most people are like, oh, you go to China. Okay, but where do you go? Who do you talk to? There's not a clear answer. And the process is so amorphous that so many people end up just trying to go to Alibaba and find somebody that they don't know, they can't really trust. And at the end of it, they have to put down a ton of money for a lot of units only to hope that it's going to work out. And that process is not sustainable. It's not sustainable as a business. It's also not sustainable for the environment. We're saying, hey, look, instead of doing all of that crazy stuff, work with a team. We're based in Los Angeles. We have the best project managers from the industry, pattern makers, cutters, sewers, all the people that you need to build custom products that come from your brain, all working together under one roof. And we help people bring their visions to life. So that's the first initial thing when I think of differentiation, because the substitute in that situation is really just find a factory in China and then have them like make you something. And that's really not what most of these people need. What most of these people need is a prototype. And that's the first step of our process.
Gotcha. Gotcha. All right. So if I want to get into the apparel business, I can go to IndieSource and you guys have an end-to-end type of service for me. You guys can help me with procuring the apparel that I'm looking for, or the materials. You have the designers that you mentioned, the cutters, everything's there. So I can at least create that first all important prototype and then really launch it from there.
Exactly. We, the reason I put so much emphasis on the development stage where you're doing sourcing, pattern making, and sample making is that's typically the thing that people try to cut corners on and skip. And when you cut corners on your first one, what happens to your 1,000? They're all wrong or there's an issue. So yes, we put heavy emphasis on making sure our development program is really tight. And then we run manufacture. We actually manufacture for our brands as well. And so if you're a new business owner and maybe, you know, a lot of our clients don't have a background in fashion and they don't come from, you know, 20 years experience doing this stuff. The supply chain, it's not the kind of thing that you can just pick up overnight. There's a very steep learning curve. And so you, just like any smart entrepreneur, you want to work with people who have done it before and actually have the relationships already. So for example, when we're sourcing fabric, a lot of times I talk to people, I say, what's been holding you up on getting your line started? And they say, oh, I haven't been able to find the right fabric. Okay, well, some of these people are spending, several months, sometimes years trying to figure that out, but we already know where to go. So we cut that time in half, sometimes much more than that, because we already know exactly who to get the fabric from. And then we create the supply chain for our brands so that they have that forever. We're not even hiding it. We're like, hey, this is your guy for fabric. This is your guy for trim. Like, we've curated the supply chain for you in a way that just isn't realistic for you to be able to do as somebody who's new to the game. I mean, you wouldn't know.
Yeah. Well, and like anything else, you know, people who are experienced, people who are experts make it look easy, right? I mean, time and time again, somebody will say, man, I can do a better job than this. And then they start getting into it and then they realize this is way harder than I thought, right? And then so somebody like you can come along and kind of be their coach and say, listen, I got the relationships. I can connect you over here. I can connect you over there. And time is money. So if you can save me weeks or months, then, you know, that becomes a priceless save. And then, of course, let me ask you this. Okay, so obviously I can come to you and you can help me with the manufacturing of my clothing line. What about the marketing, the all-important marketing? Because that's where the other people struggle at is, hey, I got this great-looking line. People love it, but I can't seem to sell it. So do you help people with the marketing side as well?
Yeah, so we didn't for a long time, but then I got sick of calling people that we made amazing product for and checking in and saying, hey, how's it selling? And they're like, not so good, right? And usually the reason is one of two things. There's one of two reasons that this happens. And it never fails. It's always one of these two things. Either A, they say, I had a budget for marketing and I blew it on a fashion show, like a big PR thing, right? Rather than like driving real sales. So either they spent the money in the wrong way or they somehow thought that they could just post organically on their Facebook page and they would have all these customers. Like if you build it, they will come, which obviously is not true. So what I started to realize is that so many people know about the different kinds of things that they can do to market, but they don't have clarity on what are the key things they need to do right out of the gate. Where do they need to put their money specifically in order to drive immediate revenue and to be able to turn that into cash flow that they can then use to support their growing business? And so we started doing some of the most key things that every brand needs to focus on, which is content, the actual content, and photography, which is simple Shopify websites. We're doing some email marketing as well as Facebook and Instagram advertising. That's it. You don't need to do anything else. The best way to reach your customers today is still on Facebook and Instagram because of the amount of data that you get. And so we just want to make sure people are putting their money in the right area and we're using the same model, which is that, you know, for the product side, it's not me. I'm not the one building the product. I'm hiring the best people that do this for a living and have worked for some of the biggest brands and are like kind of excited to go and help these new fashion entrepreneurs. So imagine people from some of the biggest brands that you've ever heard are now kind of working on our team to help you do this. So I pull them in under IndieSource Orbit. It's the same thing with the marketing. Finding people that have done and scaled massive e-commerce brands and bringing them under our umbrella so that they can all work together cohesively to develop, manufacture, and scale the brands that we work with. And so that's the whole point the idea is the fragmentation is what kills entrepreneurs. And if we can synthesize it together into one place and make it simple and process driven, then we're going to be able to make sure that we have brands selling their product and then coming back. So that's the goal.
Yeah. And you know what? And that's so important. I mean, I love what you said there about the myth of, hey, I'm going to build this great product. I'm going to have this great service. And people are going to come to me and they're going to find me some magical way. And it does not happen.
No, you need marketing budget.
There are, you have to plan for it like anything else. And, you know, one of the great things that has come out in the last 5 or 6 years is this crowdfunding where people are able to put together sometimes it's an explainer video, sometimes it's a prototype, sometimes it's just an idea with a video, and they're able to get funding for it. And to me, if you can get strangers to give you money on the hope of something that you're thinking about getting done, then you probably, and some of these crowdfunding campaigns have done remarkably well, even raised $500,000, $600,000, $700,000, upwards in the millions. I think that's a great indication that you're onto something and that you're going to probably be able to take it to the next level. The chances of somebody doing that on their own, of course, is very, very difficult. So you're helping them with the marketing, which is so important. And I want to also talk about this because you mentioned something that a lot of people don't understand, and that is a fashion show, which is, it sounds sexy. It may even look sexy, but really, for the average person starting out, they're not going to make money on that. They're going to lose money on that.
Right, right. Exactly. The fashion shows, you have to think about where the dollars are going to be like directly impactful. And PR is one of those things that's hard to measure. Brand awareness, high-level brand awareness is one of those things that's harder to measure, and bigger brands have budgets for it. But if you have a tight budget, you have to put the money into getting a person from Facebook to your website so you have a swing at bat for them to maybe buy your thing. That's it.
Yes, that's it. And here's what a lot of people don't understand. If you have a good sales funnel, getting people from Facebook to your website, that will build brand awareness and build your sales simultaneously, because it's marketing, it's advertising. You're trying to take strangers and convert them into customers. However, if all you have is a brand campaign, getting people to, quote, be aware of your brand, kind of like in Facebook terms, that would be like a like campaign, getting people to just click or like your Facebook page, that's not going to build sales. You might get 1,000 likes, but no sales. I'd rather have no likes and 1,000 sales.
right, exactly.
And again, people get so confused, and there's so much BS about having, you know, huge numbers of likes on your page. And let me tell you, that's great if you can get it organically. But if people take the time to study these big, massive Facebook pages, I look at Vin Diesel, the actor. Vin Diesel has 100 million plus likes on his Facebook page. And, you know, when you look at his engagement, he's somewhere between 0.5% and 1% engaged.
Right.
But when you have 100 million plus followers, that still looks like a big number.
Right.
Because, you know, it kind of is in one sense, but he's the exception, not the rule. I mean, again, he is on, you know, he's done various movies, several franchises that have been extremely successful. Most people aren't going to have that, especially out the gate. So I'm glad that you brought up the whole PR thing. It's very hard to measure. Sales is really what people need to be focused on. Just, you know, if people who are watching to us today just take that away, they will probably save themselves a lot of time and money and headaches, because ultimately it's about the sales. Nothing else matters.
And one other thing about that, which is that in the beginning, you are guessing about what you think your target audience is going to like. And part of being a successful entrepreneur is your willingness to pivot based off of the reaction to the product. There is a good chance that there will be something about what you made that you say, after actually selling some, you get feedback from those customers that you can use and say, all right, you know what? I probably shouldn't have made the fabric that thick because of where the customer is located. But they love the fit though. So why don't we, for the next round, make sure that it's a lighter fabric so it's not so heavy on them. But you do that from data, sales data, conversations with your customers, real interaction that gives you feedback that you can use to then adjust your prototype. And then for the next round of production, you tweak it so that you can improve. It's a constant game of evolving, and the sales, as ground level as it may be, and grassroots, it's always great because you can literally ask people the questions about what they like and what they don't like.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I want to talk about this because, looking at some of the stuff that you're kind of well known for, one of the things that stuck out is, it's not just that you have to have a good product, but you also have to know how to tell a good story. And I want to talk about this. Why is it important to be able to tell a good story?
People are interested in the story behind the brands and also how things are made more today than ever. They want to know that something's been made ethically. They want to know that it's not hurting the environment. They want to know that they're putting their money towards something that they feel good about. And in doing so, you have to be able to explain what you're doing and how that's actually happening. So it's one thing to say, oh, we're sustainable, but in telling the story, you can actually share how you're sustainable, what things you're doing, what are the actual materials that you're using that don't hurt the planet? What are the kinds of like ethical practices that you have by producing in the United States? What kind of dyes are you using? I mean, if people want to know about how their stuff is made more than ever before. I kind of compare this to sometimes about the food analogy, where it's like people are getting more and more interested about, okay, what's in my food? Well, it's the same thing with clothing. What's in my clothing? How is it created? And if you're a new brand, you need content. You need to be putting out information. And so, yes, you want to be able to share the sexy photos of your product, but you also want to be able to give backstory and give meaning and give truth to you and what you're doing as a designer. And so one of the things that we've been doing is trying to help our brands tell their stories. So for example, like even just yesterday, every week we'll like have some people like on our Instagram page, and we'll do like IndieSource Presents, where we like just have them on and start to talk to them about what they're doing. And we bring a lot of our clients on, and every one of them has such a unique perspective, you know? So we had one last week, Universal Dialect, that has a social aspect where they give soccer balls to kids all around the world, like as a donation portion for anything that you buy. Yesterday, there was a new brand called Roots and Rooftops. That was a really, really cool brand where he basically went through everything, the whole backstory of why he came up with it. He's an ex-Nike guy, and he created like something that really like the market needs, but he needs to tell the story. And so because we're like uniquely positioned to do that, IndieSource has been doing that. We've been taking photos. We've been recording our brands, helping them to tell their story, getting behind the scenes footage that they can use for their content. And I just think it's good for everybody. It's good for us because it helps get the word out that, hey, if you want to make a product and you know what to do first, IndieSource is where you go. And it's also free marketing for them. So I think it's just more collaboration on the storytelling is only going to help everybody grow. And I want to make sure that all of our brands are successful. And one of the ways that we can do that is by telling their stories and helping them to get the word out.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that a good example of storytelling that come to mind for me is, there's the famous Peterman catalog, for those people who are familiar with Seinfeld.
Yes.
It's a real catalog, and they really tell a little bit of story for each of their items. And then of course, you have Tom Shoes, who became, I think, a great example of what happens when you tell a great story And, you know, a lot of people started, you know, following their footsteps.
Right.
I like the idea of what you're talking about with the person or the company that's giving away the free soccer balls. That, to me, is a smart move. It gets people involved. You know, a story, if you connect with that story, if you on whatever level, maybe it's a funny story, maybe it's an emotional story, but whatever reason, it makes that brand stick in our psyche. And man, once the brand's up here, you know, that story's up here, then the brand stays there forever or for at least an extended period of time. Because, you know, ultimately, you know, what's going to separate, you know, this pretty dress from this other pretty dress? Well, a good story.
Exactly.
And, you know, one of the reasons a lot of people don't know this, but a lot of fashion designers will give or allow their fashion to be loaned out when celebrities are working the red carpet or they're at a very media heavy event. And of course, somebody's going to say, hey, what are you wearing today? Well, I'm wearing XYZ. Well, that becomes part of their story. Now that fashion, whatever that fashion apparel was, they're going to say, hey, it was worn on the red carpet by so-and-so. Here's a picture. It becomes part of the story. Now, who doesn't want to have a fashion apparel that is somewhat iconic? Hey, you know, I'm wearing the same suit that, you know, that The Rock wore on the red carpet or whatever. That's part of the story. It's a great idea.
Exactly.
All right. So IndieSource, let me pop up the website here for those individuals who want to reach out to you. And let's see, it's right here. Just messed that up. Okay. IndieSource.com, correct?
There we go. Yep.
Here we go, IndieSource.com. Absolutely. And I just love this idea of helping somebody out and basically making it that much easier. I mean, the fashion industry is not only highly competitive, but unfortunately, it's one of those industries that will take a newbie and gobble them out and spit them back out. I mean, it's just a very hard industry. There's so many pitfalls. You mentioned China a couple of times. I think more than ever, China might be on the blacklist for a lot of people. They don't want stuff from China. They want it from someplace else. You know, there's a lot of people that will take advantage of a newbie, really in all industries. So it's good to have somebody that they can go to and really, you know, get all their questions answered, right, by somebody who's got some experience and connections.
Questions answered, supply chain set up, and surprise, I mean, during this COVID time, I mean, there's quite an increase in sales on e-com, obviously, because people are not shopping. And it's really more about, do you have an idea that satisfies a need in the market? And if you have that, there's a really good chance you're going to be able to get in front of the people that are looking for that kind of thing. And so it's just, I am a bit shocked at how many people have reached out since this has happened. But I think people are sitting at home and they're saying, you know what? I've been thinking about this for years. I need to do this thing finally. I need to make it happen, you know?
Right.
So they kind of have some time on their hands and now they're like, all right, let's make this clothing line happen. So I think that's been pretty cool because obviously I didn't know what was going to happen in terms of like new brands coming in. Obviously a lot of the bigger brands have reached out because they're like, oh, we need to diversify our supply chain. We don't want to have all of our stuff stuck in Asia. If we work with you guys, we can have, inventory coming from multiple places that allows us to prevent any sort of like issue if a country does shut down. And that's what we help with the big brands. With the small guys, it's like, all right, I just want to get started. How can I get started? And we have a team ready to go for that. We have these awesome kickoff meetings with our, with experts in the fashion industry that sit down with you, that talk through your ideas and really help you create a plan for exactly what you want to do. And that's kind of like the first step. So kickoff meeting for anybody that's interested in like kind of taking that first step. It's kind of like a low risk thing that will get you the clarity that you need to know what you need to do first. And that's a lot of peace of mind.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you struck a really valid point. a lot of people cannot pull the trigger because they don't have that clarity. They got all this stuff running around in their heads. Part of it is fear. Part of it is uncertainty. Part of it is simply knowledge. They don't know what, you know, what the steps are. And so this thing about clarity, it sounds simple, but let me tell you, without clarity, nothing happens. Clarity is absolute power as far as getting the getting your product or your service launched. So I'm glad that you brought up clarity. It's just an important, important thing. IndieSource.com for you guys who want to catch up with Zach and his team. And I'm going to pop it up here one more time. Let's see. There it is. So, Zach, it's been a blast having you on the show. Looking forward to catching up with you again. And want to wish you the best of luck with IndieSource.com.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Bert. Appreciate you having me.